This is Netta Wattel. Today is the May Animal Communicator Forum monthly program. Welcome, welcome, everyone. I'm so glad to have you here. I'm the forum moderator, and I welcome you each and every one with all my heart. Each month this year, I've been reminding everyone on the call that telepathic communication is a universal form of communication between all sentient and sapient species throughout the known and the unknown universes. Do I seem to be repeating myself? Well, I'm doing that for a reason. Restoring our memories is part of the process of spiritual awakening that is available to all humanity as we move through the shift of the ages. In my private sessions with clients whose animals have passed into spirit, more and more animals have been telling their human friends to learn animal communication and that they will help from the spirit world. They encourage their people to focus on expanding their intuition and connecting beyond the limited world of form. So I remind you, again, that there is sentience and sapience everywhere, in stones and crystals, trees and other plant life, all the animals, and the earth herself, the nature spirits and elementals, the angels, the masters, and all beings in the higher realm communicate telepathically with each other and with us. The Animal Communicator Forum's mission is to make telepathic communication with animals as natural as breathing, and the animals and I encourage you to begin where you are and expand your intuitive and telepathic skills from there. Isn't this why you attend these calls and listen to these recordings? To remind yourself and encourage yourself to keep expanding and developing your own telepathic abilities, as well as to learn from our excellent people. Our guest animal communicator is Hee Horsley from the United from the United Kingdom. Hee's background fascinates. From working in the dazzling world of theater as a stage manager, Pee left to follow her first love. She emerged into the bright light of the animal communication world because she heard and felt the animals calling her. This is the type of courage that it takes to be an outstanding animal communicator. Today, Pee does private sessions and teaches workshops. She also works with the media and is part of the team of regular animal experts on BBC London Radio's The Late Show with Joanne Good, a slot dedicated to dogs. And she's been featured in numerous magazines. It's quite a long list, but I will just say one of them is Your Cat, another one is Kindred Spirit, another one is Vision, The Healer, The Nouveau Detective, and Animal Rescue Magazine, and that's, I'm leaving out quite a few. So she's really out there. Pee's book, Heart to Heart, Incredible and Heartwarming Stories of the Woman Who Talks with Animals, was published to great acclaim in 2010. We are so lucky to have her here today to talk to us on the topic of heart to heart with wild animals. While most of us feel it's challenging to speak with our own animal family members, it is perhaps a different challenge to speak with animals in the wild. When one is sensitive to how much devastation and disrespect has been visited on the wild parts of the earth, it takes great courage to open our hearts and listen and learn to hear what these great ones can teach us. And that's what Pee is going to be taking us through today, the opportunity to get to know and speak with these animals and get messages from them. So, for the next moment or so, I would like you all to focus on practicing opening your heart center. We're going to listen from our hearts to the wisdom that He is going to offer us. Take a moment now to connect with your own heart. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath. Let yourself relax and sink a little bit into your chair. Put aside the cares of the day and take another deep breath. Exhale slowly and just feel yourself opening, expanding. Imagine that your heart center is a beautiful flower. flower, and you're opening to connect with the sun. And I think you've lost tea.
No,
you
haven't.
Are you there? Oh,
I'm
there.
I'm so
expanding
with the sun.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
I'm loving
it. So I am delighted now to welcome you, firstly, to the Animal Communicator Forum. Yay!
Yay. Thank you so much, Neda.
Oh, you're
thank
so
you.
Welcome. So I'm fascinated to ask some questions, if I may. You have animals who, not animals, you have students who come to workshops with the wild animals, with the endangered animals. And what kind of animals are part of that? How does that all work?
Okay, so how does that work? In fact, just before we start, can I just say one thing?
Absolutely.
About two things.
Sure.
We will be doing a guided meditation with a lion during this teleclass. And if there are people on this call who like to have a visual, I've put the picture of Chandra, who's the lion we're going to connect with, a particular lion, on my website. So if you go to my website, which is www.animalthoughts.com, click on schedule, then click on teleclass, you'll see a picture of Chandra. And that's going to come in a little bit later. We're going to do a guided meditation where everyone is going to be able to communicate with him. The other thing I just wanted to quickly say is that I would like to dedicate this teleclass to my dog, Morgan, who is very old, and he's still with me, but it's very close, and he started my journey into animal communication, so I just want to dedicate this to him. Okay, I've held it together just.
Oh, yes, you did a great job. Would you tell us again, it's animalthoughts.com, and the place...
Animalthoughts.com.
Right.
Then on the
click
left
on.
Side, there's a link called Schedule. Click on that.
Workshop Schedule.
And then on the, on the right side, it says Online Teleclass. Just click on that, Teleclass. It's right at
got
the top
it.
On the right side.
I figured if I could find it most, everybody else would be able to find it. There's the picture of those beautiful lions. Okay.
So that's Chandra on the left and Akila on the right.
Okay.
But we're
going to
be communicating with Chandra, yes, the male.
Okay. Excellent. All right.
Okay. So going back to your question, my students, we communicate with all sorts of animals. I've been teaching at the Cotswold Wildlife Park now for 4 years, and in that time, the students have had the opportunity to communicate with two different royal pythons, a Yemen chameleon, a tarantula, the giant Aldabra tortoises, the emus, white rhino, and these were from Thule, Monty, Ruby, and Nancy, the Bactrian camels, and their Friday, Maggie, Chewbacca, Tinker, and Cleo. The Asiatic lion, so that's Chandra and Akila that you can see in the picture, and also Gia. The Amur leopard, the giraffe, Kofi, Century, and Wallace. And also the purple-faced langur monkeys as well. So quite a variety of animals, and there are still loads more animals in the park that we haven't even reached yet. You know, there are over 250 different species there.
Wonderful. So, okay, so most of the people who come, is this their first experience with animal communication? Or do they
tend to be from,
you know, they've already had some?
Well, actually, most of them are complete beginners when it comes to animal communication. Some of them are already working with energy. You know, they're either doing Reiki or they're a spiritual healer. But most of them are literally just animal lovers. You know, they adore their cats, they adore their dogs, their horses, whoever it is. And they want to explore this connection with animals. And Maybe they're particularly attracted to the wild and endangered animals, or it can be simply because of the location, you know, it's close to them. Mm-hmm. But it basically, this course attracts people from all walks of life, you know. It's people who are keen to connect with animals on a deeper level.
Part of me wants to get on a plane and come right away and participate in this workshop with you. I'm wondering what kind of messages are they getting from the wild animals? Because, you know, when I teach workshops and in workshops that I've heard other professionals teach, you're asking in the beginning some very mundane questions. Like, you know, what's your favorite toy and where do you like to sleep? And here are animals who are, you know, confined somewhat. So how does that all, what kind of messages do they get? What kind of questions do you suggest that they begin with?
Okay, because this is a workshop for people that want to learn animal communication, we do ask some questions that are verified so that, you know, it's really clear for them whether they're getting it right or wrong. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the animals will communicate how they feel about their enclosures. They'll tell us who they like. They'll tell us things they don't like. They'll tell us their age, how long they've been at the park, whether they were born there, whether they were brought in, where they were brought in from. They'll also give us a message for their keeper. And they'll also communicate messages on a much larger scale. You know, they will give advice to the student personally, to the whole group, and they'll also give advice to the whole of humanity, if humanity is willing to listen. And I share those messages. So, for example, one of my students was communicating with one of the giant Aldabra tortoises, and this is what the tortoise said to her, and then she let me know. He said, "The tortoises struggle to understand humans, as mankind on the whole refuses to connect with the energy of the earth. And in consequence, our own energies are out of balance. They wish we would slow down, find some equilibrium, which would allow us to focus better. They almost hold us in contempt, as these are very simple skills to them, yet we struggle with the baby steps. One tortoise in particular showed me the word nature in a beautiful pictorial way. So for me personally, I have to make sure I don't ignore the beauty around me, which they marvel at." And a different student was communicating with one of the rhino, the white rhino, is called Monty. And Monty gave this message to her: "Respect us. We are dying. Generations of learning, and you are very naive of the purpose of just being." So, you know, it's a whole range of things. We start off with the very simple things that can be verified, and the keeper of the animal always comes and joins us and verifies the information. So it's not just me saying, "Oh yes, you're right," or "You're wrong." The students get to meet the keeper and they get the information directly from them, whether they're correct or not, which gives them a huge amount of confidence when they get that right, you know. And it's really good to involve the keepers and for them to experience animal communication with animals in their care.
Have the keepers ever taken any training with you?
They haven't yet, Neda. I just want someone to join me.
The reason I'm asking is that I'm just fascinated that they're willing to, in a sense, participate by verifying the information. Do some of them at least marvel at the accuracy that some of your students must have?
Well, it's interesting because the keeper's reaction to animal communication has changed actually over the 4 years I've been teaching there.
Uh-huh.
In the beginning, as you can imagine, most of them were very skeptical. Or at least the keepers who took part in the communications in that first year. But a lot has changed since then. And over time, they've heard some pieces of information that the animals have given the students that they've really been forced to verify as correct because they know that they're true. And I can see, you know, the little sort of cogs turning, and these correct pieces of information have caused them to question whether there could be something in all of this. And the one keeper was amazed when a student was able to tell him that the Yemen chameleon we were communicating with had some concern over his car steering, which came up when we asked the question, have you got a message for your keeper? And so the chameleon said, yeah, I'm really concerned about his car steering. And another student said that the chameleon had told her that he was concerned, that she was concerned about his blood pressure. And I remember the keeper's reaction. You know, he laughed, but it was that kind of nervous laugh and look of astonishment because there was something in it, you know. Both turned out to be correct. He'd literally just been diagnosed by a doctor with high blood pressure, which he'd hardly told anybody. And he had been concerned. He was concerned about his car, and he was thinking of getting it checked because it just didn't feel right. Mm. And after he'd got this message from the chameleon, he went and took the car to the garage, and the garage told him, yeah, the steering was out of balance, and he needed it corrected. And he came back to me and told me that both those things were right. So opinion has changed, you know. There's much more interest in animal communication workshops now. And even this year, more keepers are coming along to see what happens and to learn the ropes of what's required of them. You know, should I choose an animal in their section? When we went to the purple-faced langurs, this keeper confirmed that what the students was receiving was, you know, nearly everything was correct. Mm. And he seemed really taken aback by it, but in a positive way, because it wasn't what he was expecting.
Right.
And when the students explained that the langurs, what the langurs had said, that they needed to feel happier, rather than being defensive or dismissive, which was often a bit of, you know, the first reaction, mm-hmm. this keeper actually completely agreed, and he told us that he'd been aware of this problem and that they weren't happy, and that he'd thought of an idea of how to help them, and he just needed to get the powers that be to agree with him. You know, in these types of places, feelings are not really openly discussed that often. Keepers prefer to remain much more scientific, and, you know, they discuss what a species needs rather than an individual. But there are exceptions. There are some wonderful keepers, you know. The emu keeper came very open-minded, and even though he didn't know what to expect, I know that he thoroughly enjoyed the experience, and the emus loved it too. They loved the attention. You can always tell what the relationship is like between the animals and the keeper because the animals will express, you know, this undying love or adoration of their keeper if they feel cared for them, cared by them.
Mm-hmm. I have so many questions bubbling into my head. I'm not sure how to keep them all, you know, sort them all out here. You've been teaching at the park for 4 years. How frequently do you have classes there?
I go twice a year now.
Twice a year, okay. So you've done about 8 classes, and yet...
Yeah, probably a bit less, probably about 6, yeah.
Okay.
Because I didn't start doing 2 a year.
Mm. So the keepers are starting to shift a bit, and how have the animals changed from having these opportunities to communicate with people?
Well, you know, they love it. The animals are really keen to get us to understand them, not only as a species, but as individuals. They're really keen to show us that people, animals, and the environment are all interconnected. They're trying to instill in us, you know, a respect for all life. I find that they look forward to the students coming, and they're keen to communicate. When I first thought about going to this park, I didn't just, you know, walk in thinking this is what I'm going to do. I asked the animals at the park whether they wanted me there and whether they wanted to support this. Mm-hmm. And the answer was, you know, an absolutely huge, resounding yes, come, we need you to come. And the reason is because this creates a ripple effect. They need this positive energy because they're all in these enclosures, they're all in captivity. They need this love coming towards them. And also we're creating a ripple effect where hopefully, you know, we're gently opening people's eyes to another way of looking at animals, and that animals, these wild and endangered animals, have an awful lot to offer, even though they're not in their natural habitat, you know?
Yeah. You know, I have once, in a course I was teaching, talked about the concept even of, you know, what does it mean to be wild?
Mm.
And because, you know, truly, the animals that live with us, many of them, are wild. I mean, the domestic cat isn't really that different from the lions and the tigers. Dogs have been genetically altered and played with much more than the cats, but, you know, so many of people who have birds or reptiles living with them have, to some degree, tamed them, but really...
Yeah.
I still think of them somewhat as wild. They belong to themselves.
Mm.
The concept of ownership is sort of a distortion. I'm wondering, has anyone asked the animals at the wildlife preserve how they feel about this concept that humans have, that we own things that are alive and land and...
Yeah, you know, we haven't asked that question specifically. But the general response from them is always, you know, you think you own this land, but you don't. We're all equal. That comes through all the time, you know, every time we communicate with them, that comes through from them. It's interesting, the concept of wild. When I think of wild animals, I think of animals that are free to move and free to make their own decisions. Free to live in an environment that's natural to them. These animals in captivity are not living their full wildlife, are they? They're living in a smaller, tamed down lifestyle.
And yet, I would still think of them as wild animals in the sense that they're not... I mean, we may be forcing them to adapt because we've put them into limited spaces and limited situations, but they're not really tame.
No, they're definitely not tame. They're not pets. I mean, I can communicate with Chandra, but I would not go in the enclosure with him because, you know, he's a lion and his wild instincts would take over and he'd probably just have me. And that's something we have to respect about them, their own innate nature.
Yes, there's a lot of, you know, when I think about some of the people who have, you know, raised lion cubs and to some degree have wrestled with them and rolled around on the floor with them and, you know, kept them as if they were large pussycats.
But
they're never, it's not the same thing. There really is a wildness in the energy. And, you know, cats are an interesting species to talk about because I have two cats, and I really think of them, you know, one more than the other, as still being very wild. Of course, she's a Siamese. That may have something to do with it. But there's a feral cat. You see, we think about domestic cats as cats that sort of belong to us. And yet feral cats seem to have an energy and a way of being that they pass on to their young, you know, of the domestic size feline. Because I've had so many clients with kittens that they've adopted where they know that they were rescued out of nature or the mother was feral or something like this. And some of these kittens remain very feral. So it's a very interesting question to ponder. But let's get back to the animals to Wildlife Center, because that's what we're here to talk about. So, what's it like to talk to a tarantula? I've picked that out because that's a species that I think most people would be a little bit aback from, you know, holding
back. I'll talk about the tarantula. I'll also talk to you about a royal python as well.
Okay, great.
The tarantula is, well, they were both fears of mine, these animals, that I had to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
And I requested the tarantula specially. And initially, you know, I actually requested to see the tarantula outside of the room so that my, you know, people couldn't see my face when I'm first meeting the tarantula, you know, for the very first time. And because I'm looking at the legs and how hairy they are and the eyes and all these things which are illogical fears because, you know, this is the first tarantula I've come really close to. So I shouldn't have these fears. You know, this tarantula has never hurt me, never bitten me, never chased me out of a room. You know, nothing has happened. So we brought her in, and she was an amazing, amazing teacher. There were at least half the group, like me, who were fearful of her.
Mm-hmm.
And she did this wonderful thing where she went to the front of her, it was actually a plastic bowl. She went to the front of that and she just remained very still the whole time. She didn't move about and freak anybody out. She remained very still. And when we were communicating with her, everybody realized actually that she was incredibly maternal and wanted nothing more than to have lots of babies and was a really gentle energy and was helping everybody overcome their fears by connecting with them in a way that they could really get to know her personally of who she is, you know? So it's wonderful communicating with the tarantula because you get past the fear, basically. Is it something you've ever done, Neda?
Well, not with one in the same room. I did it once. I had a client once who had a pet tarantula, and I was working over the phone and communicating from a distance. But when I first make a connection, most animals, unless they're afraid of humans and they're sort of like mentally 20 feet away hiding behind a piece of furniture or something, most of them come in like 6 to 8 inches from my face, and I get a visual of them and their energy, and that's where that tarantula was.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the same experience you're describing right now, that this was a very nurturing, caring, feminine, loving energy. But I've never tried doing it, you know, with the tarantula actually in the same physical state. So that's a different challenge, isn't it?
It is, and but it was wonderful, and it was needed, and we needed to understand her as well. And at the end of the communication, there was opportunity for people to go right up to her,
mm-hmm.
and people that had a lot of fear had literally let it go. I mean, we're talking in the space of like 40 minutes, and they went up to her, and they got down on the floor. And so that their eyes were at the same level to her. She was sitting on a chair at the point, in a bowl, not just sitting on the chair. And they got really, really close to her, and they thanked her and, you know, expressed all this love and gratitude to her. And she really enjoyed it, really enjoyed it.
Very beautiful.
We also communicated, we've communicated a number of times with a royal python. And
how large python? How large is this python that we're talking about?
This python is probably only about 5 foot, so not a big one.
Okay.
But big enough if you're scared of snakes.
True.
And quite thick, you know. And I remember feeling a bit of a dread about meeting her, but also thrilled, you know, this feeling of trepidation as well, because I'd never come up close to a snake, and she was going to be... She wasn't in a box or anything. She was literally going to be in the room with us.
Mm.
And yet again, you know, I was conducting this meeting in front of my students, having met this snake literally 2 seconds before. And I even had to ask how to hold her, actually. I didn't want to upset her. This is crucial. I didn't want to upset her.
Right.
How do I hold her?
Well, you were brave enough to hold her, so good for you.
Yeah, I knew I needed to hold her. And we lifted her out of this opaque plastic box that she'd been brought in. And of course, the students were in awe the moment they saw her. And she was heavier than I imagined, you know, and leathery and smooth, and not at all slimy. And as soon as I had her in my hands, I found it impossible to teach because I was overwhelmed by a zillion different feelings, you know, a bit like buzzing electrical impulses through my entire body. And I was actually so silent for a while, you know, just allowing these feelings to unfold. And I was completely enthralled by her. I managed to take a seat in the middle of the room, and all the students are in a semicircle. And I asked them to connect with her, and they've already been communicating, so they know the process, so they can get straight into it.
Mm-hmm.
And why they did this, I felt the python's energy merging with mine. And I knew that she could sense the ripples of fear in my hands and my legs. I mean, the impossible not to.
Right.
And I presented the students with a number of questions to ask her, and they went quiet, and they went to work.
Mm-hmm.
And as they communicated with her, I was having my own personal experience, because what she did was she glided her head and the front of her body out of my hand and began to make her way up my left arm. And then she moved up my white blouse and to my shoulder, and her tongue is darting in and out the whole time. And she spoke to me in this very mesmerizing voice where she said, "Let go. Let go." And she raised her head from my shoulder and went across the front of my chest. And now my body is really tingling with fear. And I was concerned about where she'd go next, but, you know, I also understood, as an animal communicator, I knew that she was basically doing a job on me. She was helping me release my fear, you know, encouraging me to let go. And she said again, "Let go," in this voice that's, you know, both seductress and human charmer rolled into one. And then she paused for a moment on my chest. And my heart was thumping so hard, I just thought all the students would be able to hear it. And she said, "Let go." And then she left my chest, and she started working her way over to my right arm, her tongue flicking in and out the entire time. And I'm trying to do as she's asked, you know, I'm trying to let go of my fear. But it's still there. It's really impossible to let go of fear sometimes. It's, you know, you go, how do I do it?
Right.
And despite her persistence, you know, she's being very slow, she's being gentle, it's still there with me.
Mm-hmm.
And she must have felt this, because then she did something that really pushed me past my comfort zone. And she was really determined to have her way. And she gradually moved her body, and I felt her head moving up along my torso. And she's on my body, and she's making her way up the center of my chest towards my face. And then she stretches her body out until her face has reached the same height as my eyes. And her tongue is flicking in and out within like a centimeter of my face. And I gulped, and she said, "Let go." And I was trying to let go, and all I could think was, "God, I hope she doesn't bite me," knowing, you know, precisely the wrong thing to think, because I'm putting that picture in my mind. We all know that you've got to create something positive, not negative.
Yeah.
And she said again, "Let go." And she's remaining there very close to my face. And I'm in my own little world with her, you know. It's like the rest of the room has just faded away. And she says again, "Let go." And this time with really gentle force in her voice, "Let go." And it just happened. I just moved past my fear, and I was able to sense her properly for the first time. And I felt a very emotional creature who was loving, generous, proud, and I could feel all the ripples of fear just leaving my body, and I was able to sit in stillness. and feel the honor of being in her presence and the honor of holding her and being this close. Mm. And then my awareness came back into the room and my lovely students who are all there communicating with her. And she just comes to rest in this lovely comfy coil in my lap. And then I started to go through the questions and the answers with the students. And one of these was, would she like a name? Because she only had a number. Not all of the animals at the park have names. Most of them just have numbers.
Oh.
And everybody heard yes. And so one of the questions was, what would she like to be called? And we had all these names like Diamond, Her Highness, Princess, Sapphire, Garnet, Ruby, Crystal. You know, all the names are reflecting a royal or a crystal energy.
Yeah.
And I heard her say Ruby, and one of my students had also received Ruby, so we named her Ruby. And after all the questions, you know, the students did brilliantly, and they all had very personal emotional journeys with her, just like I was having my own personal journey with her. And there's this opportunity at the end where the keeper will allow everybody to touch her or hold her or have her on their lap. And everybody wanted to hold her. In fact, you know, people didn't want to give her up. They were trying to eke out the time with her. And so we passed Ruby from lap to lap to lap to lap, and she was so patient and moved so slowly so not to scare anybody. Mm-hmm. And it was, she's an incredible teacher, this python. She managed to help everybody with their fear, and then she managed to help everybody to connect with her on a really deep level, which was just marvelous. You know, she's very good at removing people's negativity and fear and replacing it with a stillness and replacing it with love.
That's a very powerful story. And I'm sure for you a very powerful experience, and for all of the students in that class. Was that the first time, obviously, the python had been one of the teachers?
That was the first time she'd been a teacher in any animal communication class ever. And she's now a regular because people have heard about her through my newsletter where I report back on how the workshops have gone and what information the students have received from the animals, and now everybody is really keen to meet Ruby. People with gigantic fears of snakes want to meet Ruby now. She's wonderful.
Well, this time is going very, very quickly. I know we started a little bit late, so we'll probably go a little bit over, but I don't know what other people's schedules are, so I'm wondering, is this a good time for the meditation so that people on the call...
I think it's perfect
time,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's go straight into the meditation.
All right.
Okay, this is about 14 minutes long, just so you know.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay. So, I'm going to take you on a journey to meet an Asiatic lion called Chandra. Through your own communication with him, you will be able to ask him for a personal message. You'll also be able to ask him for his advice for humanity and the planet. Then finally, Chandra will let you know how you can personally help animals across the world. You can invite your own animal companions to be close to you during this meditation if you wish. You can sit with the image of Chandra's face in front of you, or follow this meditation with your eyes closed. Choose what feels most natural to you. So let's begin. Sit comfortably with your back straight and feel your feet connected with the ground. Remind yourself of this grounding connection and how it anchors you to Mother Earth. Now breathe slowly and naturally. Breathe through your nose and become aware of the sensation of the breath as it enters and leaves the nostrils. Allow your breath to flow. With each in-breath, imagine you are breathing in light. And with every out-breath, allow any dark thoughts to leave you. Breathe slow. Breathe in light. Breathe out darkness. Notice the darkness leaving you until you find you are breathing in light and breathing out light. The light flows in and then flows out. Breathe slow. Bring your awareness to your heart and rest in this sanctuary of love and compassion. Feel your love growing larger and larger until it is encompassing your entire body. You may see it like a ball of pink light. It feels like a comforting hug, helping you feel calm, safe, and relaxed. Now take your awareness to the Cotswold Wildlife Park. Imagine yourself arriving at the park and take a look around. You notice the imposing Victorian manor house. In front of the manor house there is a paddock where rhinos and zebra are grazing. Now walk down the gravel path along the side of the paddock until you come to the lion enclosure. Stop once the enclosure is in front of you. To the right of you are the giraffe and ostrich, and to the left of you are the camels. Behind you there is a very rare and endangered Amur leopard. Looking straight ahead, you can see a lion. This is Chandra. Close to his side is his lioness mate, Akila. And a short distance away is another lioness called Gia. Focus on Chandra's eyes. Now set your intention to connect with Chandra, a lion of nobility and wisdom. Take a slow, deep breath, and then with the utmost respect and deep reverence, invite Chandra to meet with you. You may feel him come close. You may visualize his awesome-sized head and mane in front of you. Or you may feel his strong presence close by. Take a moment to allow Chandra to come to you. You may become aware of his tawny coloured coat, the fold of skin that runs down his belly, the black tuft at the end of his long tail, or see his ears protrude from his short, sandy mane. When you become aware of Chandra, acknowledge him and share your thankfulness that he has chosen to be with you. Use your breath to find your balance, your center, your stillness. In your stillness, put your focus on Chantra's face and look gently into his eyes. Do not be afraid. He is with you to empower you on your animal communication journey. Connect with his qualities and make a mental note of how you would describe him to a friend. You will now have an audience with Chandra, who will answer four questions. Firstly, silently in your mind, say to Chandra, please will you offer me some personal advice? Trust that Chandra will look right into your soul and tell you something relevant. Please will you offer me some personal advice? Remember what he has told you, or make a note of it. Now ask him, do you have any advice for humanity and the planet? Do you have any advice for humanity and the planet? Again, remember what he has told you, or make a note of it. Then ask Chandra, is there a way that I can help animals across the world? You may find the answer he gives you is totally unexpected. Be open to what he wants to share. Is there a way that I can help animals across the world? Remember what he has told you. Thank Chandra for offering this advice and let him know you will try to honor him and follow through with what he has said. Chandra has also requested that during this time together, you ask him a particular question. He wants you to ask him who he really is. This may be a particular energy he identifies with. So ask Chandra, who are you really? Who are you really? Remember what he has said to you. Now go back to the qualities you first chose to describe Chandra and feel whether those impressions are still right with you. Were you aware of his qualities of protection, strength, courage, his energy, assertiveness and wisdom. The For You Part Company with Chandra, take a moment to share a more positive future with him. Hold a vision of the world where everyone lives in harmony with animals. A vision where there is a respectful exchange between species. And an acknowledgement that each animal is as much an individual with their own thoughts and feelings as a human being. And hold a vision where people are no longer disregarding or dominating animals, but instead they are willing to learn what the animals have to teach. Now is the time to stand with lion-hearted courage as leaders of a new vision. Know that your time with Chandra is nearly over, but you can always meet again. Chandra will inspire you to be courageous. He is instilling in you a presence of strength. Within this presence, everything is possible. Bring to mind the messages you received from Chandra. Gently bow to this majestic lion and give thanks for the time you have shared, wishing him health and happiness. Now prepare to leave the park. Walk back along the gravel path, passing the rhino and giraffes along the way, until you arrive back at the Victorian Manor House. Then drift gently back to your physical self, but bring with you an awareness of the park and the connection you have shared with Chandra. Slowly start becoming aware of your body and the connection your feet have with the ground. Move your fingers, and then when you are ready, open your eyes. You may like to write down Chandra's messages while they're still fresh in your mind, and so that you can refer back to them over time. And if anyone is willing, it would be lovely for you to share your messages with each other while we're on this call, so that we can hear what Chandra has said to you and said about humanity and about the planet.
And this is Netta saying that to share what you experience, please press star 6 to unmute your telephone lines and give your first name and where you're from.
While people are getting to the grips with that, Neda, shall I just share what the message that Chandra gave me for humanity? This was a number of years ago when I first met him. Okay, so he said to me, look at what you're doing to the earth. Look at the destruction. We cannot continue like this. We have to live in harmony. You need to stop now. Start listening to us. We can live in harmony. And I can read out a couple of messages to give to my students. He said to one that he thinks living in peace is important. And another student saw an image of people and animals together. He also he told one of my really talented students this message. No matter how the letters are rearranged in the word mankind, your feelings of superiority over one another is the cause of divisions between people and countries. It is only with the soul's true awakening to its spiritual intention on this earth that you will be really able to move forward in harmony and achieve the salvation of not only our species, but the whole animal kingdom.
Well, we have some people, I think, who are ready to speak with you.
Okay, lovely.
Great. Hello? Would someone like to share or ask me a question? I know there are lines unmuted. That's really how I know anybody's there wanting to talk, but I don't know what their names are. Hello?
Someone's got to be brave and go first.
Yeah,
this is Moni.
Hello, Moni. Go ahead.
Hi, okay. I got a message that was real similar when I asked for advice for humanity. You said come together, become aware of all that works together. And here he was showing me pictures of the animals, the earth, the plants, and the humans kind of walking around blind, like we're there but we're not there. And let's see, all that works together here that you ignore, that is the way to peace.
That's a fabulous message.
Mm-hmm.
Really good message. Did you find it easy to connect with him?
Yeah, pretty easy. I was telling him that my cat is named Lion.
You were telling him what, sorry?
That my cat is named Lion.
Oh, really?
Because of her large spirit and so forth. And he kind of looked like he smiled.
I bet he did. I bet he loved that. Yeah. Fabulous. And did you ask him who he really is?
He was talking about... He wasn't shy about it. It was kind of funny because he said... he's a leader born to this work that he's doing right now. And that he's humble. he was being humble, which I thought was kind of strange, but,
Interesting. Interesting. Is anybody else wanting to share?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hiya.
My name is Janice. I'm not a communicator, and this is the first time I've done anything like this, but I have used P's help in previous times to help find a pussycat. I have lost a pussycat today, in fact, which is why I was looking around and found the invitation to this, and it seemed too synchronistic, it seemed too obvious to that this was the right thing to do today. The message I got was the serenity and the wisdom from Chandra. And he he told me to return to my path. I have been in great darkness over the last couple of years and neglecting my own personal path, which is a very high path of meditation and teaching, and I have neglected it. His message for humanity was to slow down and stop consuming everything. And when I asked him who he was, he said, very emotional, we are the guardians, the old ones, from before Atlantis. And I could see, I know from experiences of my own that I lived in Atlantis and other lifetimes that I've had before, but I could see something I haven't seen before, which is just humans and animals of all types just completely at free and at ease with each other, walking round with no fear and perfectly open communication, no criticism, no judgment, everybody just being together in harmony, and it was just beautiful.
This is the new vision where everyone is equal and everyone is respected. Those are some wonderful messages, and the advice he gave to you for humanity was virtually the same that he told me. which was to tell everyone to slow down and to be still. So very, very similar.
It was the stop consuming everything which hit me very forcefully. We are consuming the earth, we are throwing it away and using all the resources and not putting anything back and presuming that it's there forever. And he told me very forcefully, stop consuming everything.
Yes. This is so true, you know. And I was at an event called Hope for AIDS, and Jane Goodall was there, and amazing experts in their field. And David Attenborough said, think all the time of how you are a part of the natural world. Because I do believe that every one of us can make a difference.
Yeah.
And we can bury our head in the sand, or we can educate ourselves in how our life choices are actually in turn killing animals in the wild. And what I'm referring to is the effects of palm oil, biofuels, deforestation, you know, these things.
Yeah.
Consumerism.
Absolutely, destroying what is meant to support us.
Yeah, absolutely.
On a very, very selfish issue, P, I've sent you an email and I would be so grateful if you could just have a quick look, just to see if you can possibly find 2 minutes to help me locate a sick pussycat who's been missing since yesterday. Thank you.
I'll contact you when we're on.
Thank you.
Okay, I think we can take one more person and then we have other things, you know, some announcements to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But there will be the blog, and I hope people will share some of their messages in the blog with P and everyone else at the forum.
And with each other, yes, that would be wonderful.
These are just wonderful messages, and I wish we had time to hear them all. Is there one other person who would like to share?
This is Lynn Lofton. And I just wanted to say real quickly, he said, keep your love and compassion. And he said, get back into balance. And he said that includes the predator-prey cycle. He said, when you still need to eat, you still need to live, but be in balance with the prey. And, you know, thank them and consider them. And he also said, and when he showed his true self, he showed himself as a winged lion flying through the air. Bright and light.
Yes. Lovely. Yeah. He did say to me, I am the giver of light. So
wow.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Lovely messages.
Beautiful messages. Well, I'm going to put my experience into the blog, so I'm not going to take up everyone's time to hear that, but I had a wonderful conversation with Chandra. It was a great, great blessing. Pete, what events do you have coming up? What would you like to announce? What's happening?
It's hard to really announce anything because I have workshops for the rest of the year, but all of them are full. I know, I'm ever so lucky. I will be teaching again next year, though. I do have a mentoring day on the most powerful day of the year, 11/11/11, the 11th of November.
Mm-hmm.
I'm offering mentoring to absolutely anybody. So you can read about what I'm offering you in this mentoring session on my website under schedule. I've also got a free monthly newsletter where you get to hear about what the wild and endangered animals are advising us. And a whole load of different things and people's personal experiences. And I'm also offering people a special sort of gift. If you sign up for my free newsletter and send me an email quoting, I love being heart-to-heart with animals, you can order a book and I'll send it to you free postage and packaging. So you only pay for the book, you don't pay for any of the transport, and that's to anywhere in the world. So there's no limitation on that. So that's kind of it, really. But I am hoping to, well, I'm planning on teaching in Australia and New Zealand next year, and I will be going to wildlife parks, very similar to the Cotswolds Wildlife Park. So if anybody's listening in from Australia and New Zealand, please do sign up for my free newsletter, because you'll get to hear about the workshops and when I'm going to be there. And I'm also in Italy every year for all the Italians. And anyone else in any other country in the world, if you want me to come, email me and we can maybe put on a workshop together.
Very exciting.
I think that's all my announcements, Neda.
Okay, well, that's great. Those are wonderful things happening, and I hope everybody will get the book, because I'm sure that after listening to this call, they will all have a wonderful experience reading the book. So,
yeah, and there's some stories in there about, you know, from the wild animals at the park as well, which people won't have heard.
Great. So the blog entry will be going up as soon as we finish the call, and I hope everybody will comment. You're going to need to log into the website in order to comment and share, but you will be, P, you've been asked to respond, so I hope you'll keep an eye out for these.
Yes,
the recording of the call will be available later this evening. I try to get it on the website the same day so that people who can't be on the live call can at least get the recording, but it will be there for a long time, and people will be able to play it and enjoy our conversation and do the meditation. I want to remind everybody about the Owl's Corner, where you can send in questions on animal communication, and we have many professionals now who are available and willing to share their wisdom and answer your questions about communication or any experiences that you've had where you would like some help. We have a new animal communicator directory that's just getting going this month, and it's available from the main menu, so you can check that out. We're just starting off, and the list is going to grow and is building slowly. Our June speaker is Billy Dean from Australia. Her topic is Ascension Messages from Animals, Nature, and the Fae. And for those of you not familiar with the term the Fae, she's talking about the fairy realm. Billy says, the animals, trees, stones, and the Fae all have urgent messages for humankind as we go deeper and deeper into the eye of the 2012 storm and ride that 2012 wave to shore. To accommodate the time differences between where I am and where Billy is in Australia, the program is going to be at 7 p.m. in the evening, and other times are listed on the website. We will, of course, record that program, and if you get on the mailing list, you will be receiving announcements reminding you about that and other upcoming talks. My feline family members worked with me to create the report, 11 Keys to Creating a Win-Win with Your Animal, and I have to do my duty every month and announce to everyone, please come to my website and join the Rays of Healing Light mailing list so that you can get the free special report. And now Violet and Sakara welcome you and want you to know that they had a lot to do with what's in it, so they want you to read it. Okay, I've done
I
that.
I love it when animals tell us what to do, Neda.
Yes, I do too. And you know, people say to me, you let your cat boss you around? And I say, yeah, of course. They're smarter than I am
sure,
in many ways.
Yeah.
They run the house,
exactly,
and the house runs
me
to them.
Yeah.
Anyway, I do have one other announcement, and that is that I started at the beginning of this year teaching a free teleseries called Ascension Preparation. And it began as a once-a-month teleclass, and it will continue with the once-a-month teleclasses at least through the end of the year, and then I don't know what will happen in the new year. But since that time, I have been guided again to expand that program so that while we have a teleclass once a month, we also have meditations in between the teleclasses. So the meditations have just gotten started, and the second one is tomorrow evening, May 19th at 7 p.m. This is Eastern Time. There are different meditations each time, and I don't usually announce the topics in advance because I don't always know exactly what they are going to be. Working from higher guidance is always full of surprises. But I appear to be working through the various colored rays of God consciousness that are coming into the earth, and we'll be doing the first ray this week. So I give you that little sneak preview. But the next teleclass in the series is Thursday, May 26th, which is a week from this Thursday.
And the topic of that class is Forgiveness and Gratitude, Tools of Transformation. And we're going to be talking in that class about how these particular two heart qualities help us clear old emotional blocks and mental patterns so we can move vibrationally into the fifth dimension. So if you would like to be part of the free teleseries and meditations, please come to Rays of Healing Light and click on the link on the homepage and just sign up. There's no charge for being part of this program. For copies of the previous calls, you would need to buy a subscription, but all the information is on the website, so explore at your leisure. And I just want to say to you, P, and to everybody who's here today, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being here, and thank you for letting others know about the Animal Communicator Forum. I look forward to having some of you on the call again, and maybe you'll be here with us in June, or July,
thank
or
you
August.
So much,
oh, P,
it's been a
thank
real pleasure.
You. And I'm going to turn off the recording here.